Welcome to another listener appreciation episode of the Smashing Pumpcast. I'm Frank Garcia Hell. Pat is by the pool. I'm holding all his calls. Thanks for joining us for this hot machina summer. May it live in our hearts forever, but it's not over just yet. Today we'll be hearing from Pumpcast listeners who shared their love of Machina and Machina 2 with us. As we said in past episodes, we'll be doing these listener appreciation episodes after most of the full-length albums we cover. Just keep an eye on our socials for instructions on how to submit. Speaking of which, you can follow us on Twitter at Pumpkins Podcast and on Instagram at Smashing Pumpcast. Cast is spelt K-E-S-T. And now, somewhat reluctantly, we're on TikTok since we thought we'd be able to watch the recent live shows, but you know, we have it now. That's all you need to know. You could find us there at Smashing Pumpcast, and cast is spelled K-E-S-T, just like our Instagram handle. Also, we'll be debuting our Patreon very soon, but until then, if you like what you hear and you think that the show has any value, now you can throw a couple of bones our way at buymeacoffee.com. No big whoop. It's like a digital tip jar. Think of it that way. The Pumpcast will always be ad-free, but this puts a little money in our pocket since it takes a lot of time and sometimes finances to make the show sound as good as it does. Any amount is appreciated, and it helps us out a lot. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/Pumpcast, and cast is spelled K-A-S-T. All these links will be in our description notes as well. Okay, so a lot of great listener submissions this episode, some first times and some returning friendly faces, some of which appropriately take me to task for my comments on Home. And you know what? They're right to. Had a few people reach out to us on the socials to tell us what the song meant to them, and it certainly gave me more appreciation for the song. So ease up. I get it. So yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. And you know, we're going to have songs that we don't entirely love, or Pat and I won't see eye to eye on, but we love hearing why they resonate with you. And that's part of why we do these listener feedback episodes as well. All right, you've heard enough from me. So let's hear from some of our listeners. Enjoy.
My name is Kim Rosas. I'm a Smashing Pumpkins fan. I wouldn't be here if I weren't, and I wouldn't listen to this podcast all the time like I do. And you guys do a great job. I'm always impressed. And I've been a Smashing Pumpkins fan since I was 10 years old. So Machina came out really right in that prime moment of life for me. I was 15. And Billy said something on an Instagram that resonated with me quite a lot, because he was frustrated, as he gets, of people really being obsessed with one album. Like, this is the only or the best Smashing Pumpkins album, and none of the other ones are good. And that, he said, was really because it's the best album to them because it means the most to them. It came out at a time in their life that they just reflect on, that it is, their coming of age album. So it's not the music, it's how the music made them feel and the memories they have with that. And not to say that Machina is not a good album and I'm only obsessed with Machina because it came out when I was coming of age, but it definitely has a lot to do with it. And there are so many elements of the album, particularly with Every Light and Blue Skies Bring Tears, that, you know, for me, just fit my life at the time and made me feel all kinds of ways, and still make me feel all kinds of ways because of how it made me feel then. So that is, Billy was totally right. You know, we kind of obsess over those things when they hit us at that moment in our lives and bring us back to that. So I was 15 when Machina came out. I got the album right away, and I was able to buy the album because I was working. I had been working since I was 14 years old, and mostly to support my music and book habit, but also because I just wanted to be out of the house. It was a really rough time for me and my family, and we had recently just moved to a new trailer park after a very unfortunate incident where we were raided by the FBI. My parents were doing really heavy drugs, and were also selling drugs, and also forging prescriptions for OxyContin. And I'm sure we all remember the time, you know, the OxyContin stuff going on back then and still. So they were part of that. And I moved to a new school. Smashing Pumpkins was the only thing that really made me friends. I was the Smashing Pumpkins girl. I got a boyfriend because people heard that I was the Smashing Pumpkins girl and she's new in school and you have to meet the Smashing Pumpkins girl. And we did end up dating for many years. And, you know, we're both obsessed with Machina. So it was just this whole time frame where that music was everything. When I was home, it was all I listened to. I was locked in my room. I was obsessed with the imagery and the art. I was making pottery with the art, like the symbols on it. And as many of the fans know who were there at the time, the SmashingPumpkins.com website was also just really cool. It was flash. It had all these symbols on it flying around and graphics and hidden meanings and things that were hidden. And, you know, there are lots of things about Machina that, it was really the highlight of my fandom. I was at the height of my obsession. I was at the height of being able to be obsessed with them. And they were doing so many things at the time. It was just like this really magical, special time. They did the Resume the Pose tour, and I was too young to go to the club that they played, but I was somehow able to manage going. And that's a miracle in itself because we never had a car that would run. And if we had a car that would run, it couldn't go very far. It could get you to the gas station for cigarettes. So the fact that my parents somehow pulled it together, stayed straight enough to drive me there is something that I'm at least thankful for one thing that they did for me. So I got to go, I got to meet Billy Corgan, and that moment was just, you know, as an adult, you're like, well, you know, would you really freak out meeting your idol and how silly? But God, when I was 15 and I got to meet Billy Corgan, no one can understand, like, meeting, I mean, I'm sure some of you can, but just meeting the idol, the person you've been obsessed with since you were 10, and I cried a lot, and then he hugged me because he probably felt so sorry for this girl. And that set me even more over the edge. But I always think, God, if he had had a bad day and had been rude to me, what my life would be like, because landslide, right? I built my life around you. I built my life around the Pumpkins. They were just part of my essence. And then had he been rude to me, I would have maybe stopped doing that. And then I got to see them live the one time on the Sacred and Profane tour, which was also another miracle. And I, you know, they broke up that year and it devastated me because I thought, God, I'll never see them live again. And of course that was so not true, but it was the way I felt at the time and had a complete emotional breakdown. But I still listen to the music even after the breakup. I love Machina too. I still love Machina too. I'm obsessed with that low quality sound. It's just so perfect for that internet age, and it just reminds me of ripping CDs and the obsession with what everything meant. And you know, quickly I'll say the last show I was obsessed with wanting to go to that. Obviously I could not afford it, but someone in online won a trip because they were having to solve some riddle, and whoever got the closest got to go see the last show and win a guitar. And her username was Akasha on the forums, and mine was Heart of Akasha. Clearly we were both obsessed with Anne Rice as well. And people kept asking, how was the last show? And I'm like, oh, and it wasn't me. It was the other girl. It was Akasha. It's like, please stop asking me this. I'm so mad. I'm so bitter. I didn't get to go. And yeah, I read everything I could about the last show. I was obsessed and so sad. You know, my biggest regret in life was being born poor, because all I wanted was to see that last show and never would have been able to afford it. But I always credit that span of time, the Machina era, for my current business success, because when I was making gifts for the forum, I made a website to host the gifts for people to download. I coded it by HTML. It sort of sparked this creativity in me and passion for website building and communities and Photoshop that turned into my entire career and has made, you know, made it possible for me to see them live and buy tickets and fly all over to see them, and including in Germany. I went and saw one of his solo shows, and I got to meet him again, and it was full circle because I said, don't do what you did when you were 15. You have to redeem yourself, as if he would remember meeting me and say, oh God, well, she's so well adjusted now compared to when I met her when she was 15 and she had a panic attack. And I went too far in the other direction. I was very nonchalant, and then I walked away like, my God, you're meeting your idol. You're still obsessed with him. He's still this huge figure in your life, and huge, also tall. I felt like a fourth grader next to him. And you talked about tacos, and he probably thought, what a fucking bitch. She did all this work to meet me, and she doesn't give a shit about me. I'm like, no, I was just trying to be cool. So that's my Machina story. There's so much more. I feel like that Machina era was so amazing. It was the best time to be a fan. Nothing has ever topped it for the fan culture for me. And it was just a really cool time to be a Smashing Pumpkins fan. It was a really shitty time in my life, and they really helped me survive it for sure, which is why I'm also, you know, really into it.
Hi guys, it's Stephen Patrick Kelly. I'm talking about Machina 2, or the Machina albums in general. Machina, of course, was one of the albums that I first listened to when I first got into the Pumpkins. I listened to Melancholy first, as y'all recall, and then, you know, Machina followed afterwards. The last album I listened to of their original six was Adore, which, you know, is my favorite Smashing Pumpkins album. But out of, you know, both Machina and Machina 2, Machina 2 holds a special place in my heart. Is, you know, I think is the stronger, superior album to both albums. I remember they released it for free online on the Smashing Pumpkins website back in 2000 after they had broken up and everything else. So I used to come home every single day from school and go straight to the website and just listen to those songs over and over and over. But I would play Real Love over and over and over and over and over again. Real Love is my favorite Smashing Pumpkins song. Everything from the drums to the creamy guitars to Billy's vocals, you know, to the lyrics, everything is just wonderful in that song. It's the biggest song in their catalog, I think. You know, just the biggest sounding song in their catalog. You know, it's just like getting hit in the face with a baseball bat, but you enjoy it, you know? So, you know, and there are other great songs on that album. You know, it's got we've talked about it before, it's got a nostalgic quality to it. Because it was ripped from vinyl, it's got a nostalgic quality to it that, like, puts you in a different headspace altogether. You know, it's what the kids these days call vibes, I guess. You know, like, it was a very vibey album. You got Home, you've got Soul Power, you've got Slow Dawn, you've got Lucky 13. You know, like, all of it is just, it's spectacular. The entire album, if they had been able to release it, you know, commercially and everything else, it would have been just as big as Melancholy, I think, because it sounds just as big as Melancholy. It's definitely as ambitious. So, you know, I feel like the world missed out on a huge thing. But yeah, so, you know, Machina has a special place in my heart because, like, you know, it's had a profound influence on me and my songwriting and everything else or whatever. And it's like an old friend you haven't seen in a while, but every time they show up to the door, you invite them right back into the house.
My name is Justin Reeves. I wanted to throw my quick two cents on Machina, mostly Machina 2, although Machina came out the year I graduated high school, so the February of my senior year, right before I got to see them in concert the first time. This Time was really a song that's lyrics really made me kind of sad that I was leaving all my friends. We were all going our separate ways. I got to college, and that's when Machina 2 came out, and I started getting these songs downloaded for free. And I just want to put on the record that I believe that Home is one of the top three Pumpkin songs of all time. I think it's one of their masterpieces. I cannot wait to hear it when it's redone, remastered. But I think Home is the most beautiful lyrically, musically, one of the greatest of all time. I hold it sacred almost. And I also believe that the version of Let Me Give the World to You on Machina 2, in my opinion, is far superior than the one we got from the Adore box set. I think those two songs, Let Me Give the World to You and Home, are two of the most beautiful songs. Some of the most honest, lyrically honest and emotionally honest songs Billy's ever written and performed. And that's all I got.
Hi, Pat. It's me, Faith Tyler. I've enjoyed emailing with you both so much, and this podcast has been amazing through the pandemic, and I experienced some loss a few years ago of my mom. She took her own life, and she was always really supportive of my Smashing Pumpkins addiction. She drove me and two of my friends to the Rochester show. And it was her idea to pull over and see if we could meet them when we spotted their tour bus outside the Hyatt, which we did actually get to meet Darcy, which I have some journal writings of. Like I wrote down my thoughts that night. Of course, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited. So if I stumble across those when we're packing up to move, I'll send you some pictures. But anyway, I just want to congratulate Frank on kicking cancer's butt, and your production skills on this podcast are awesome. I went to school for audio production, so I'm very appreciative of the job you guys do. But that is so time consuming. So shout out to your wives. I know you both have young children, so kudos to them for making the space for you guys to do this. It's been such a wonderful distraction during the pandemic. It's really helped me rediscover my love of the Pumpkins, new albums that I didn't even really pay attention to, including Machina. And when you were talking about Machina 2, I was like, what is that? Somehow I totally missed that coming out on the internet and everything. So I'm, you know, just listening to that stuff for the first time on YouTube, and it's been amazing. I've gotta say that my favorite song is Home, so I do, you know, disagree with you, Frank. My advice is to just crank it up and it, you know, let it hit you in your chakra. But I wanted to talk about White Spider a little bit, and how it reminded me of the beginning of Michael Jackson's Black or White. I'm gonna play it. I think we've all probably been there with our parents, but, you know, luckily, here we are as adults able to listen to the Smashing Pumpkins as loud as we want to. I'm trying to record this while my kids are eating breakfast, and I'm like, be quiet while I do this. And I think my time is just about up, but wanted to get this into you before the deadline. Thank you so much for engaging with us listeners. Like I said, it's just been so fun listening to the podcast and getting back into the Pumpkins. You know, the breakup was hard, Darcy leaving the band and all that, I think we all felt a sense of loss. I think we should band together and get the Pumpkins inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and maybe they would reunite as the original lineup. I don't know. Anything's possible in this year, and I look forward to the rest of Hot Machina Summer. Thank you so much.
My name is Will Alexander, and I think Machina 2 might be my favorite. Of course, the Pumpkins are one of those bands that anytime you listen to any of their albums, you're probably going to think, oh man, yeah, this one's my favorite. But I think I've had that thought most often with Machina 2. And I think it's just due to the variety of styles and sounds within the record. It's got that crazy lo-fi sound. It's got that Machina mystery about it. Also the fact that, you know, you guys brought up a good point. You know, Pisces was basically a mixtape and then released as an official album of sorts. And this is from the official album sessions, but you could only find it in the dark corners of the dial-up internet era. So all of us of a certain age remember the struggle. But gosh, man, Cash Car Star, White Spider, Dross, you know, and then mixing that with songs like Real Love, It's just awesome. I feel like I can't probably add much to what you guys and others have said, but just got to throw in my two cents there. Machina 2 is rocks, and I'll be praying for Santa to deliver that to us sometime soon, just like you guys. Anyway, loving the podcast, guys. Machina Summer has been great. My name is Will Alexander, and I approve this message. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tony Bacigalupi. You can find me on Instagram under Papacopia the Second or Papacopia II. Anyway, what I love and appreciate about Machina and Machina 2 is, for one thing, the fact that the band dared to make such a unique album. No album in rock history sounds like Machina. And I love how it sounds like a natural progression from A Door. And I feel that it's a perfect fit with A Door and Melancholy before it. Yeah, A Door sounds drastically different from Melancholy, but I think it bridges Melancholy perfectly with Machina 1 and Machina 2. But I think what I really love about Machina and Machina 2, and especially Machina 1, is the unique sound. And I'm always, to this day, so fascinated with how they achieved that sound. And I don't even think they remember how they achieved that sound. I think Billy said they scrapped all the notes so that they couldn't repeat what they made, the sound that they made with that record. I love how Machina and parts of Machina 2 sounds like an old record. No, I take that back. Sounds like a record from the far future, but somehow ended up in the ancient past, like it's been sitting in a desert and buried in the sand and became rusty. But it still made this beautiful sound. And of course, the concept and the music is just amazing and so beautiful, even when it's heavy. And I'm fascinated. I cannot wait for the reissue to learn more about Machina and Machina 2.
My love for Machina started the minute that I saw the Everlasting Gaze video on, you know, MTV Latino. And it just, you know, it was about 2 a.m. and I had zero clue the album was already, you know, a release was already approaching. So it was really cool to see, you know, an awesome video that you didn't expect. I knew all the Arising tour songs already, you know, loved Virex, but I had zero clue the album was coming so soon. And it was just really awesome to see. And, you know, it was really sad, you know, when I heard the Pumpkins were going to break up, but, you know, it was awesome to just know that, hey, you know, there's a chance that I can finally see, you know, my favorite band live. So shout out to my dad, who allowed me to convince my uncle to drive me from Albany, New York to Montreal. So I flew up to Albany, you know, it was an international trip. I paid money for my ticket to see the Summersalt Festival to, you know, give them a goodbye. And that was an amazing experience seeing them live. You know, and it was still awesome to see that they were still touring till the end of the year. So when we got Machina 2, that was really cool. And, you know, me and my friends were there trying to download the best quality. And a friend of mine made, you know, all of the artwork and jewel case. And it was really funny to see him, you know, he jumped the gun a bit. He said all songs written by Billy Corgan. And when he heard, you know, go, he's like, damn it. And, you know, it's just really cool to dissect and, you know, really see what Machina was about. And my friend, he, you know, he pointed out, hey, you know, the first 3 pages of the lyric booklet for Machina 1, it's kind of like a 3-act play, and it ends with this time, and, you know, something's going on at the after the end of this time. And, so I guess it was all foreshadowing, like, hey, they're breaking up. So he was really clever and figured out all these things. So yeah, you know, listening to you guys just kind of reminisce about it and you know, go over song by song, just made me really thankful that you have something like the Smashing Pumpcast. So kudos to you guys. Smashing Pumpcast is fucking awesome, and keep on listening. And thanks again from David G.
Everlasting gaze, enchanted in the rapture of his sentimental sway. But underneath the wheels lie the skulls of every cog, the fickle fascination of an everlasting god. You know I'm not dead.
Hi, Frank and Pat and Pumpcast fans. This is Scott from South Australia calling in for the Machina 2 appreciation episode. The majority of my appreciation will be for Machina. Not that I don't appreciate Machina 2. I definitely feel like the versions of Try, 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 the Here's the Atom Bomb, New Wave, and Saturnine are my favorite versions of those songs. But that might just be 18-year-old me feeling like I was in on a secret from getting an album off of the internet rather than from a store. So Machina, though, I've got 3 separate little anecdotes. The album hit at that just that perfect time. I was 17, 18. Me and my high school friends were all, you know, driving around at night because we were too young to drink, old enough to drive, all that fun stuff. My friends were definitely into heavier stuff. They liked Tool. They liked Metallica. So they didn't cross over with Smashing Pumpkins very often, but we all loved Everlasting Gaze. And we'd drive around at night, didn't matter who was driving, the radio would be cranked as loud as possible, and we'd all be rocking out, singing along. But when the drop happens and the music drops out for, you know, just Billy, and we all want to hold in the everlasting gaze, they'd turn to me and I would sing my guts out. And maybe I should ask them, but I'll never know if that was because I sang it with such fervor, or if they thought it was funny that I sang it with such fervor. But that's how we'd always do it when the song came on. They didn't care much for the rest of the album, but they did love that heavy opening single. But speaking of heaviness, at the time I was also, you know, getting into computers, getting into doing some audio mixing, and I even had I can't remember what the product was, but it was a professional audio product, and it turned out that its license was busted. The free version was busted. So you installed it, you picked the free license, and you had it in perpetuity. So I used that for recording some stuff off the radio, like when radio shows would live stream concerts. I'd jump onto the internet stream of it and record it straight to my computer to make MP3s, which is actually a way I've got a bit of a live Pumpkins concert that Triple J did in Sydney in 1998 or 1999. Anyway, that's a side story. But Age of Innocence is 100% my favorite song off of Machina. And being a rocking 17, 18-year-old, I wanted it to be louder. I felt like the guitar parts and the drums in Age of Innocence were just that little bit too quiet. I wanted the song to be louder and rock even harder. So when I ripped the CD and made the MP3, I put it through this audio program and I tried to crank it up louder, but I didn't actually know what I was doing. So instead, I ruined the quality of the song. So it was like playing on a really tinny speaker. It was a little bit louder, but yeah, I did kind of ruin it. So I did have to re-rip that song. And finally, and if trying to tweak the audio settings to make it louder wasn't nerdy enough, at this time, you know, end of the 90s, early 2000s, I had a Dreamcast. And one of the great things about the Dreamcast was it was one of the first internet-enabled consoles. So I was on chat rooms, you know, I had my Dreamcast keyboard, even though I had a PC, you know, the whole novelty of chatting on a console was the best. And every night in this one chat room that I frequented for like a year or two, my sign-off was this time, the lyrics from this time, from For Every Chemical On. So that's, we're talking 12 or 16 lines here. I think I might have skipped the crashing down part, but I'd always end it with "We'd bid you all good night" to sign off on my console-enabled internet chat room. Nobody ever called me out on it for being too long-winded. People seem to like it, so that's my story. That's Machina and Machina 2 for me. Love the show, guys. Bye.
Hello, Pumpcast world. This is Evangelina, aka _gliss__ on Instagram. Where to begin with Machina and all its glory? As a latecomer to the Smashing Pumpkins world, Machina and the Machines of God was the first album that I anticipatedly counted down for. February 29th, 2000 could not come any sooner. However, it was bittersweet because of the sudden indifference for Smashing Pumpkins. I did not understand why in just a few years they went from worldwide phenomenon to esoteric or avant-garde band, according to some people that I talked to. The songs were ravaging and comforting all at once. Raindrops and Sunshowers is one of my favorite songs. Billy's voice is at its softest and most vulnerable, in my opinion. For a long time, I was okay with being the only Smashing Pumpkins fan on my block. It was like I was in on one of those famous inside jokes from Billy Corgan. This was not bad limo at all. And then in what felt like one fell swoop, Billy gives us gold and breaks our hearts. Machina 2 is free, but it's the end of the Pumpkins. Machina 2 solidified how amazing and eclectic the Pumpkins really were. Dross is a song that has been in my top five ever since then. It's heartbreaking, it's cathartic, it's everything you want in a Smashing Pumpkins song. At the time, I took comfort in the fact that Machina 2 was the last thing that Pumpkin fans were left with. As an adult, I am no longer shy about shouting my love for this band from the rooftops. When I talk to friends who essentially assume the Pumpkins stopped existing after Melancholy, I play them songs from Machina and Machina 2. To me, those albums represent where the Pumpkins' sound was headed. Of course, at that time, we assumed it was truly the end. 21 years removed, I'm glad Machina is considered a classic. I am glad Pumpkin fans still gleefully discuss their favorite songs from this era. Thank you, Frank and Pat, for giving Pumpkins fans an opportunity to rejoice in our love. Keep it coming.
Hey guys, it's Justin from Deprogrammed, and Machina is the topic du jour. I have been trying to put words to my thoughts. Firstly, you guys have nailed everything that I've thought about Machina in the time since it's come out. But I also wanted to say that it's bizarre to think about Machina at the time coming off of the backs of Adore and people just bailing on the band left and right. And I thought the saving grace was Everlasting Gaze. It was the lead single, obviously, you guys talked about. And I thought for sure this big rock tune, it's got big guitars, it's got Jimmy back, everybody's going to come right back. And I found that to be quite the opposite. And actually, I had people say that Billy was trying too hard, which I still don't even know what that means. But these songs over time, like, I loved the record from Jump Street, just on its very surface level, the fact that we had returned to like bigger rock songs and the idea that there was, you know, layers and layers of guitar. And, you know, I didn't even think about the layers. It just, they were there. I could tell. And then as I got older, I started picking it apart and hearing all the different layers and really picking apart lyrics. And, you know, as time wore on, I changed favorite tunes. I changed, you know, for a long time, I had a very hate relationship with Heavy Metal Machine. And I don't know, well, part of that was because I got it on, I was on a street team, and Streetwise sent us cassettes of Heavy Metal Machine. And so I heard it a whole bunch. And unfortunately, I'm that kind of person. If I hear something too much, I fall out of it. And now when I hear Heavy Metal Machine, like, I allow myself to take the story in, take the story of the whole album in, and really hear what they were trying to do with a song like that. And you take a song like Wound, and when the album came out, Wound was nothing to me. Like, it wasn't even a blip. It was just a song on the album. And when I came back to the record, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Wound became this big song for me, lyrically. And we were having the conversation on Twitter. Unfortunately, the person's name escapes me, but you guys even said it on the show, Billy is at his most Billy vocally there. Like, he really is aggressive, and I love it. I love that he takes the things that people could easily say, this is why I hate this band. Yeah, I get it. But to me, that's exactly why I love it. He's really pushing that envelope. And sonically, the song just hits right. And lyrically, it's deep. And it cuts like a wound. Hey-o. I can listen to this album start to back. Like, just start to finish is probably what I was trying to say there. Over and over and over and over again. And I have. I think everything finally clicked into place for me when my friend said, hey man, I've never listened to this Machina record. He's not a Smashing Pumpkins fan. And he goes, I've got this Bose player. Let's listen to it here. And I had already found all the different layers, but hearing even deeper layers, even more layers. And then hearing you guys talk about the record recently, some of the stuff I didn't realize about the story of Glass, and it just makes me love this record more. And I've loved everything that's come out since, but there's always going to be a special place in my heart for Machina, the Machines of God, for the time that it came out, right after I graduated high school, and it just, it means a lot to me. I appreciate you guys loving the record as much as I do, because no, I mean, this whole episode is going to be people who love it as much as me, and it means the world to me to have found a place where people appreciate this record as much as I do. So thanks for allowing me this time. I appreciate it.
Okay, that concludes a special listener appreciation episode. If you want to be part of a future appreciation episode, follow us on the socials, and you can find those links in the episode description, and you'll see us post instructions on how to do so. In fact, if you caught any or both shows the band did this past weekend in Chicago and New Jersey, we're wanting to hear from you. So submit that to our email at thesmashingpumpcast@gmail.com. Cast is spelled K-E-S-T, and you can see the rules and deadlines on our socials. Coming up, we'll be covering the quote-unquote final Metro show, then tackle some Rotten Apples and Judas O. Thanks for all your support and listening. Until next time, farewell and good night.